Hey guys, Mark from the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop podcast here. Just dropped in at the beginning of the podcast to remind you all that if you want the inside scoop on any news or any deals that we've got going on at the shop, do follow us on Twitter at GAK_co_UK. You can also follow the podcast guys individually. You can follow me at Mark_random. You can follow Matt at Matt_nightsy. You can follow Jay at JAYBN1. And you can follow Joe at Joseph_900. Hello and welcome to the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop podcast. I am your host, Mark Packham, who is with me this evening.
Hello, my name's Jay. I'm the assistant manager here in the guitar store.
There we go.
That's it. Yeah.
I realise, as is customary, I pointed at you
yeah,
to tell
that
you
was
that
good.
It's your turn to introduce yourself.
Yes, yeah, thanks.
There's literally no one else here.
I also like that every time it is just you and me or just one other person, we still do that same joke. The
silence.
We'll wait.
Ooh.
Who's next?
There isn't anyone next.
It's just the two of us. We're building castles in the sky.
Where is it? Matt's in Germany.
Matt's on holiday. He's in Germany. He's in
Miniature
Munich?
Wonderland.
Is he in Munich?
No, he's in Hamburg.
Oh, no, he's in Hamburg. Of course he's in. He's
the
in
the home of Miniature Wonderland, which we talked about last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Were you here last week?
No, I wasn't here. I wasn't here last week. Last week I wasn't here because I took my dad on the Meantime Brewery Tour.
Very nice.
Which is a wicked brewery in London. And it was really good. And we drank some beer. It was his birthday present. His birthday was in May. This is the first time that we've been able to find... No, it was just the first time that we've both been able to find a day that we could do. And it happened to be a day that I couldn't really do, but I did anyway, because I like him more than I like you.
Thanks very much.
That's all right, anytime.
Loyalty to everyone listening. I'm glad you're really thinking of them.
Yeah, you know. Straight chilling.
So yeah, Matt's in Hamburg. He's, as we talked about,
yes,
us collectively, he's visiting Miniature Wonderland.
Where's Brantonio?
He made up some excuse.
Okay.
Because we've now started podcasting on a different day. He was like, oh, I didn't know.
We're podcasting, today's Tuesday. We normally podcast on Thursdays, but as of this Thursday, me and Mark and I are going to be playing football. Well, I'm not going to be playing football because I've damaged my knees somehow.
Broken. You're going to come in and wear a suit.
Mate, I'll pretend to be Pochettino.
Yeah.
And I'll wear a suit, but actually probably just drink gin in the back whilst you do exercise.
Good. If I do not return for the podcast, it's because I've died playing football for the first time in probably about 20 years.
Yeah, so we played a couple of games. Like,
I was useless.
Two years ago.
Almost died then. And
yeah.
This is indoor.
You're wearing your Steve Ball shirt.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you were quite handy on the wing, just couldn't put in any crosses.
Yeah. I mean, you know, typical sort of small winger. But except I'm not fast and also a bit rubbish. So
you're kind of like Sean Wright Phillips if
he was more rubbish than he actually is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty rubbish.
Well, I mean,
anyway, so as there's only two of us, I thought it'd be a good time to do a little kind of catch up on the stuff that's been released this year, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, we do a big Gear of the Year podcast at the end of the year. But I thought it'd be nice to kind of recap some of the stuff. So before we start recording, you've sort of hashed out a little list of things that you want to talk about.
Yes.
Maybe when Matt and Brantonio are back next week, we can do their things.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
But that you've kind of outlined some of the big hitters, really.
Yeah.
Let's go through them. If I kind of call them out and you can sort of explain why you thought that this was a good thing to talk about. So first up, the Gretsch G5034 TFT Rancher, which is the Dreadnought with the Fidelitron pickup and the Bigsby tailpiece.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't really talk about acoustic guitars that much on this podcast.
I tried to get Dan in this week, actually, to do an acoustic special.
Oh, did you?
He was too busy making his hair look 50s.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, that sort of segues quite nicely into this. And also, it kind of doesn't as well, because I mean this is a Gretsch acoustic guitar, the Rancher. If you ignore all the funny numbers that they put before their guitars, this is essentially, it's called the Rancher, and they're like 500 quid or something.
£582.
Okay, and the reason that we can talk about this acoustic guitar on this podcast is that it's kind of not really an acoustic guitar.
it's kind of snuck under the radar.
Yeah, it's got one of the Fender Fidelitron pickups. Which is the it is the Fender Fidelitron, isn't it? It's not a
I believe so. Yeah, let me just have
I
a
said
quick...
that, and then I sort of
you
doubled.
Immediately went, is this right? Yeah, it's just called Fidelitron.
Yeah,
even.
So it's one of the Fidelitrons, which is the pickup that Fender produced for the. For the
Cabernet,
that is exactly the word I'm looking for. Sorry, it's been a very long day. For the Cabernet, and it's also got a Bigsby, and I can't think of a single other guitar, acoustic guitar, that's ever had a tremolo.
I mean, there definitely
there must have been some others with Bigsbys,
but I have to admit that this, in my experience in the guitar shop, this is the first one I remember seeing, like first production one I remember seeing. I mean, Gretsch are obviously known for having the Bigsby.
Yeah.
And it's part of that sound. It's just such a different take. Worth mentioning, they're called Rancher. In fact, I don't know the origin of the Rancher name, but the whole range of Gretsch acoustics that have the triangular sound hole are called the Ranchers.
Okay.
And they were a guitar from the 60s, I believe.
Really? Okay, right.
And
well.
Yeah, Gretsch bought them back when they started bringing back their kind of... or when they started bringing in like the Electromatic range.
Okay.
They started bringing back the Ranchers. So triangular sound hole. They do have quite a particular sound, actually.
They do. I mean, they're exactly... They sound exactly how you expect them to sound, because it's a Gretsch acoustic. You know, they're very honky.
Yeah.
You know, they're very, very... pokey, you know. It's very stark. You know what you're hearing as soon as you hear it. And then you've got that big... sort of wicked Bigsby sound, and it's just nice that you've got the Fidelitron in there so that you can plug it in and you can get like a really cool booming acoustic sound, but like through that Gretsch pickup, it's not a Gretsch pickup, it's the Fender pickup, but you know, it's nice as well, because you know that Fidelitron pickup has sort of offered up the option to doing stuff like this with guitars that perhaps you wouldn't have been able to do a couple of years ago. I mean, you know, there's no way that they could have put a Dynasonic or a Filtertron in there.
No.
It just would have cost too much money. Or a TV Jones, you know, in which case you probably would have doubled the price of that guitar. And so having that Fidelitron just gives you, like, a couple of extra options. You know, that's why they've got it on the Squire Cabernetas. And, yeah, I just think it's a really cool spec. And, of course... it's orange.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is one of the other big things. Orange with the gold hardware. Do you know what I've just noticed looking at this? And I didn't actually notice it when I saw the guitar either at NAMM or in store. The scratch plate, unlike a normal acoustic, obviously the scratch plate is kind of glued to the body.
Yeah.
On this, it's actually like a Gretsch.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a Les Paul. So the scratch plate is kind of angled up and comes off on a little arm that's attached to the side of the body, like a Les Paul scratch plate.
I think a lot of the time, though, perhaps I could be called out as a bit facetious here, but a lot of the time, aren't scratch plates on acoustic guitars, they're kind of there for show more than anything, aren't they?
Well, I mean, they definitely serve a purpose if you're like a strumming player, obviously, because you don't want to wear through the top of the guitar. But I mean, a lot of people just play acoustic fingerstyle, and I guess then the scratch plate becomes less of an issue.
Yeah, I suppose.
But I mean, this...
this is obviously designed to be like a rocker's... acoustic guitar, you know. This is something that you're going to be like, you'll pick up on stage for like a couple of songs in the middle, you know, when you're doing a couple of country hits or whatever, and you want to give it just a big boomy sound.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's certainly a more functional scratch plate, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing to notice is that unlike, again, pretty much any other acoustic that I've seen, it's got a volume control on the front of the guitar. Like, you know, in the similar place where a master volume would be on an electric, I mean, like you say, to all intents and purposes, you could kind of just leave the neck, the pickup, the bridge, the scratch plate, and the volume control on, take the body off, and just pop a normal Gretsch hollow body on there, and literally nothing else on it would change, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're a cool guitar, and I see Gretsch doing something different. There is a whole range of Ranchers that don't have these adornments, you know, they're just regular triangular
sound. I actually didn't realise that. Again, that sort of shows...
It shows how much time you spend up in acoustics.
I mean, like
I said, the Rancher design's been around for a little while, actually. And this, they've just kind of done some funky stuff.
Nice, cool.
Interestingly, at NAMM, I actually couldn't get my hands on one of these because there was a fella every time we went to the booth just playing it.
Really?
Didn't work there. He just clearly fallen in love with this guitar and was like...
Oh, what? Like the same guy?
The same guy, every time. Yeah. And then when we're speaking to the guys running the stall, they were kind of saying, yeah, he just keeps coming back and he just really likes it. So yeah, obviously a big hit with him, and I think we've actually sold through a few through
the
shop.
Yeah, we have, yeah. Even though they're super popular.
Kind of a bit of a weird thing, really. Should we move on to the second thing that you picked out? So the second thing actually kind of encompasses a few different products. The Line 6 amplifier range.
Yes.
We've talked about Amplify quite a lot. We've done quite a lot of video coverage. How is Amplify kind of standing up maybe 6 months down the line from release? And how's that kind of library building, you know, the library of tones?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think it's doing exactly what we expected it to do, which was, you know, sell quite a lot at the beginning and then take a little bit of a lull.
Yeah.
Because people weren't convinced that the library was quite extensive enough.
Yeah.
And now, as you say, 6 months down the line, now that people have had a chance to, you know, crowdsource this this library, it's starting to pick up again. And that was always my criticism of it, was that I didn't think there were enough songs. You know, when we first plugged it in, I went through my entire... And I realised, you know, perhaps I've got a slightly more niche... music.
Your iTunes is not the target market.
No,
for this,
of course it's
think.
Not. But you know, I looked through it and like I went onto like Dookie by Green Day, and there wasn't a Dookie.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
there wasn't like Basket Case.
That's a big album.
You know, and I went to I think the only thing I could find that was on there was they had a blue album Clean and a blue album Drive.
From Weezer.
And I don't think there was anything else. Like, I would have expected there to have been, like, maybe... I mean, I don't know. Is this... Like, I was expecting at least to be, like, a Black Flag. Like a damaged one or... I don't know. Maybe not. But, you know, that stuff is all there now. And, you know, you can go on there and there is pretty much whatever you want.
Did you go through and create all the Black Flag ones?
I created all the Black Flag
ones. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's certainly picking up now. And... we've not had any issues with any of them as well, which is certainly, you know, I think a lot of the time with these new products, people will give it 6 months and say like, okay, well look, we'll give them 6 months to iron out any faults and, you know, let the first batch go through and let the first batch come back as returned. But that hasn't happened. We've not had any issues with any of them, which is testament to Line 6 and they're constantly, high, quality control. You know, they're very, very good when it comes to sorting issues, and luckily we've not had any issues with anything.
They're a bit more affordable than they were as well. There's been a couple of price drops, isn't there? So it's kind of brought them down to it's made them available to a more mass market, I guess. And actually, I mean, it's a bit behind the scenes, but our sales of Amplify 75, which is really the home use one, like you say, in the last few months have just skyrocketed. It seems that people are getting round, they're getting used to the idea of there being all these tones available, and I think with a product like this, it's quite a big word of mouth product.
Yeah, I think so as well, and I think it's something that you kind of need to hear and see demoed.
Yeah,
and have demoed for you. And also the thing that I really like about it is the quality of the speaker, of the sound is just incredible. Like it really, like just using it as a home like music system, like it really does sound really, really good.
Well, I mean, I remember when Paul Hiddenmarsh, who is the Line 6 demonstrator, came in, one of the first things that he did, even before he plugged in a guitar, he just got his laptop out and he had Lord of the Rings on there, one of the Lord of the Rings films, and plugged that in, and it sounded amazing.
Really?
And again, it's kind of a testament to that amp of like, yeah, it's totally full range, so you could use it to watch a movie, or you can plug a guitar in and it still sounds like a brilliant guitar amp.
Yeah.
Very, very good indeed. So halfway through, obviously they were announced at NAMM. That was the big reveal from NAMM, really. First product under the kind of Yamaha umbrella.
Yeah.
Incidentally, we haven't seen anything that's kind of crossed between those two products yet. I think it might be coming later in the year.
I mean, it's got to, isn't it? There will be... I mean, I can't see why they wouldn't do a budget range, like a budget Variax, like a Pacifica Variax. That must be...
Well, I think it's on everyone's mind, isn't it? That's the obvious thing that they're probably going to do, but we've obviously not heard anything yet.
I mean, maybe not a budget Variax, but... I guess
Pacifica Variax, I mean, will be calling any...
That will be any super, super cool. I really hope they do one.
What they did do halfway through the year is extend the kind of Amplify concept out to the Amplify FX100.
Yeah.
The floor-based multi-effects and amp modeller.
Yeah, and I think this is... I think this kind of suffers a little bit because... I don't think it's ever going to be as popular as like an ME80 or a GT100. But it does something different
to
that. It does everything that the Amplify does, but it just doesn't have a speaker.
Yep.
And I think it's a shame because it will struggle to sort of break through. But I think that is a more usable sort of guitarist's tool, I guess.
Well, I mean, for me, actually, it would be... I think it'd be more of a kind of home market thing. So say you didn't want an amp, say you only ever used headphones, then the Amplify amps themselves are pretty useless to you. Because the big selling point is the 5-speaker, splitting out the music and the guitar signal. If you're never going to use that, then, you know, the FX100 is perfect. It's a great little headphone thing, you know.
I also quite like that, if you were in a covers band... You know, you could put that into your amp.
Yep.
And you could literally go, okay, cool. Well, the next song we're doing is Sex is on Fire, for example.
Yep.
And you could have pre-saved in there the exact sound of Sex is on Fire.
Yep.
And then you could go, right, next song we're doing Monkey Wrench by Foo Fighters or whatever. And then go, cool, right, well, that's in there straight away.
That's the exact
time. And, you know, you could get the exact time. So I think that would really, really work for people who are in covers bands.
Yeah.
I think that they'll be absolutely brilliant and a little bit... more likely to be purchased by those sort of guys because don't want to be swapping out your amp, but that you just stick into the front end and you're away.
Definitely. So rather than go for the kind of the actual Amplify amp, you use that with something that you've already got, but you're getting that range of
and
tones.
It's because especially with the you've got 99 presets on that one, as opposed to
you have. Some presets. Hang on. 100 onboard presets.
There you go. So you've got 100 presets.
Wait, 100 onboard presets, unlimited presets with the Amplify app. So when using the pedal on your own, you've got 100 to play with.
Yeah.
Bring the app in, and then obviously the app does the processing for you.
Yeah, fine. So. Cool. So you've got all that, as opposed to the...
So it doesn't do the processing, it does the presets for you.
Yeah. As opposed to the Amplify... amps, which you've only got 4 presets built in, which I think makes it a little bit limiting if you want to be using it in a live setting, unless you have your iPad or iPhone there as well, which kind of, you know, you've always got the potential of just sort of, you know, crossing the stream somewhere. You know, that's the only, I think, downside of that.
Well, I mean, the Bluetooth seems to be fairly solid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just bringing in another variable, isn't it?
Well,
that's the only thing. And that's why I think this unit works really, really well, because you can literally just stick it down there and you're away.
Yeah, totally. I just think the Amplify has kind of worked very well for them. It's kind of reinvigorated the Line 6 brand a bit.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Definitely. Should we move on? Should we do something... What should we do next? Okay, cool. Let's do one of these. Something very, very recent. Now, it's been a great year for electroharmonics.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of stuff. We've talked about the Soul Food extensively, and that could be on anyone's top 5 list.
Yeah.
Loads of other distortion pedals. So we've also had the EX Torsion.
Yes.
EHX Torsion.
We've had the Satisfaction.
The Lumberjack.
The Lumberjack.
The green one. East River Drive.
East River Drive, yeah.
Wasn't there another one as well?
Yeah, wow, I forgot about
well.
Those ones. There, wow.
I think there's been some bass stuff as well.
Yeah, they did the deluxe bass muff.
Yep. So much stuff this year.
Yeah, they've done loads, but we've picked out the big one, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
But the Electro Harmonix B9, I think when it comes to doing our gear of the year at the end, you know, at the end of the year, I mean, we could just have a top five of Electro Harmonix. Like,
well, this is the thing, isn't like, it? When it they're releasing, a... I mean, them Electro Harmonix and Fender have released so much new stuff.
Yeah.
That, and a lot of it is potential gear of the year stuff. I think this year's voting is going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, I think it will be, and it's, just thinking from a personal point of view, the Soul Food will definitely be up there.
Yep.
For me, the B9 will almost certainly be up there unless something really, you know, a curveball comes out. I think, you know, we could be looking at like a walk away for the EHX.
The Mini, was it called the Mini Big Muff or the Deluxe Big Muff, the small white one?
Yeah.
That was also this year.
Yeah.
Which is a really good sounding Big Muff.
Did we talk about, this is something that I didn't realise until this week or last week, so we might not have spoken about it on the podcast, or maybe we did and I've completely forgotten.
That's highly likely.
Yes, it's also incredibly likely. Did you know about the change they made to the Big Muffs?
No.
The Big Muff, the Electro Harmonix USA Big Muff, now takes a standard 9-volt power supply.
Yeah, it's been like that for a while.
It hasn't.
Really?
It's always needed a adapter.
You're right.
It's always needed an adapter. I think there's only two now. I think there were only two. I think it was just the Big Muff and the Small Stone were the only two left, I think, that still needed the 3.5mm converter, you know,
yes,
the headphone jack.
Yeah.
And this week, or last week, or maybe the week before,
okay,
the batch of them that we've had through have got, they just take a standard Boss PSA.
Unbelievable.
It's so good. And I think that companies like Visual Sounds and Diago, who make the adapters that let you plug in headphone jacks,
gutted,
are going to be absolutely heartbroken because there's like a whole generation of people who not need to, who will still be buying Electro Harmonix Big Muffs. I sell one today. You know, I did. We sell. People will never stop buying the Electro Harmonix Big Muff.
The big box, like folded aluminium or whatever it is, folded pressed thing. So good.
£47
for a pedal that has, you know, remained unchanged for a long time. Well, I mean, not since the '70s. There's been a few iterations and stuff, but if they're kind of the same as the '90s ones, which are again a famous set of years for the Big Muff.
They're still hand built in the US.
Yeah,
I mean, £47.
That's crazy.
But yeah, they're banging, and so that's another, I think, radical change by Electro Harmonix, which I think will probably slide under the radar. But I think, you know, it shows off that they're still willing to, you know, be forward thinking, even with their product, you know, their existing products.
So the B9 organ machine, I just had a look, we're still out of stock.
I know we are.
We're selling them faster than we can get them in, just simply because it's a product that does something that nothing else.
No.
I mean, certainly nothing.
Well,
does it in this way. I mean, you know, if you
buy a Hammond organ.
Well, you buy a Hammond organ or you get a guitar with like a GK pickup in there and kind of synth it. But this doesn't work like that, does it? It's just triggering from the guitar itself.
Yeah.
The tracking's really good. The sound's really good. The demo that we did, Matt just managed to find some real grindy organ sounds. And if you like that kind of like 60s-y, almost through to like late 60s, like garagey organ.
Yeah.
It sounds so good for that.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, Electro Harmonix built in the States and super high quality. And they're only £165.
I mean,
which seems like a lot, but it's 9 separate organ sounds in there. I think the fact they managed to keep it under £200.
Yeah, well, I mean
what's a POG? And what's a HOG?
Exactly what I was going to say. Like, the, you know, if you buy POG 2, they're, £100 more than that, I think. I know it's not the same thing. But, you know, if you want, just to talk about the GK system,
yep.
You know, if you want to get, if you want to fit a GK pickup, the MIDI pickup to your guitar, and then use the Roland GK system, that's the best part of £500.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, it does something completely different and there's a lot more in there. But, you know, the fact that they're £165, I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. They're such good value.
Worth mentioning that it hasn't quite squeezed onto this list because I think it both slipped both of our minds, but it will definitely be on Matt's gear of the year.
Yes.
The GP10.
Yes, yeah.
A video. Yeah. I'm putting a video up tomorrow, so it'll already be out by the time you hear this. Matt did some GP10 presets and talked through the editor. If you go to the YouTube channel, some of the sounds are unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
You can't... I wouldn't be able to tell they were coming from a guitar, but they don't sound processed in any way. They sound really natural, kind of synthy, but like natural sounding.
Okay.
It's hard to describe. Definitely go and check the video.
Cool.
Yeah, I was massively impressed because obviously Matt's the only one who's really spent any time with the GP10.
Yeah.
And he's had his staff pick before. But yeah, I mean, that'll definitely be on his Gear of the Year
100%.
List. Great little unit. Definitely check out the video. Let's do an amp. Let's talk about.
We're going from the highbrow to sort of the. We're sort of winding it back a notch now, aren't we?
We're going dirty.
Yeah.
We're going dark.
How many dark?
Two of them.
Two.
But then times it by 50 or 100.
Oh.
It's like Countdown. We're talking about the Orange Dual Dark series.
Yes.
So these were released at NAMM. A very, very different flavour for orange. Primarily, they don't come in orange.
No.
They're black Tolex, black panel.
Although that's not completely unheard of, you know, they did the Dark Terror,
yep,
and also the Jim Root stuff was all, yes, black as well,
but that was all just that kind of metal box, wasn't it?
These, yeah, the lunchbox type
the
thing,
actual,
yeah.
You know, marine chassis, ply, yeah, is, yeah. Is black. I'm sure they would make you an orange one if you asked for it, but yeah. So let's talk about the Dual Darks. How are they different?
They're really, really nasty sounding.
Yep.
But
in a good way.
When I say nasty sounding, I mean in like the best way. They, yes, sound so good. The first channel. So if I remember correctly, the second channel is the channel from the Dual Dark.
The
Dark Terror. Yeah. Yes. The second channel is just is lifted straight from the Dark Terror, and but the first channel is where the magic happens. It, like, absolutely raucous. You've got three band EQ. It just sounds incredible. They're just, yeah.
So the way that they're describing it is both channels go from clean to crunch. But they're differently voiced.
Yeah.
Four gain stages.
Right.
So
yeah.
Just loads and loads of gain on there. They sound thick. I mean, for me, I think they're probably my favourite sounding orange amp.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be up there with, for me, they'd be up there with the OR series,
yep,
and the Thunderverbs as well.
Definitely, yeah, I like the TH stuff.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the true Thunderverbs and even the kind of cheaper TH,
yes,
I really,
yeah,
like.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think these, you know, again, there's a video up on the site from NAMM with one of the guys from Orange playing a Les Paul,
yeah,
through it.
Oh, is he the absolutely wicked cool dude?
He is.
Like,
he looks a little bit like a sort of Paul Weller.
Is he? He's the sort of fella who you like, if you say, right, imagine someone who works at Orange as,
yeah,
a demonstrator,
yes,
what do you reckon they look like?
And has worked there for a long time, I think.
You could basically just be like, yeah, this is fella.
Not only is he the demonstrator, I think he's like the designer, the lead designer.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
Yeah, so that's why Orange are kind of as cool as they are.
Right.
His name's Adrian, by the way. I mean, when we saw him, he was wearing shades. We're in a tiny little dark booth, basically filming this stuff. Still had shades on, of course. He's got like big mutton chops, big sideburns, and he was wearing like a wide collar 70s style shirt.
Nice.
Rocking a really cool Les Paul. And yeah, they're just great sounding amps. They sounded great in that little booth, but I mean, when you get them up at full volume.
Yeah, we've only done it a couple of times because I mean, you know, we have a small shop and I was a bit worried that they might literally like knock something off the wall. But they sounded so good. You stick that through a 4x12 and it's just like, it makes you so excited. It really was, for me, it was something that made me really excited about guitar tone again.
Yeah.
Which hadn't really happened for a while. You know, I'd sort of thought that we'd reached a bit of sort of stagnation with a lot of these sort of things. But no, it was they're so good. They'll definitely be in my top 10 at the end of the year.
Definitely. And they've been really popular as well. You know, people looking absolutely. For that sort of thing from Orange.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's do one more product. And for me, so far, this is my favourite thing that's been released this year.
Oh, yeah?
The Jim Dunlop EP01. I think it's called the EP01. Yeah, EP01 Echoplex preamp.
Yeah.
I love this pedal.
Yeah.
It's the sort of pedal that I like. Being a sort of ignorant bass player, generally, I like a pedal that you can just leave on. So it makes it sound better, but you don't have to think about turning it on.
You could, if you want to use it, you could literally just like have it plugged in behind your amp.
Yeah, or mount it to the underside of your pedal board, or screw it to your amp in some way, and just have it as like an extra control on your amp. Yeah, I'm super into it. And we've talked about it a bit before, but for those that didn't hear, basically what Jim Dunlop have done is recreate the preamp section of an old Echoplex tape delay unit. Now, a lot of people, when they were buying Echoplexes back in the day, obviously they were buying it for their delay function, but actually they found that they were just turning the delay off or down and just using it as a preamp, because it adds like sparkle, adds like dynamics, adds like texture. It's a bit of a weird one, because on the face of it, it's just got one control, which is just a volume control. Realistically, it doesn't change the volume. It just adds a bit more gain. So if you want it to be a bit more gritty, wind it up. But I think the best kind of way to use it is kind of leave it halfway round, leave it sort of 12 o'clock, and just leave it on.
Yeah.
It adds sparkle, it adds kind of depth. In the same way that I really like the Pigtronics Class A Boost.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
It does a similar thing. I mean, you could use it as a pedal that you turn on and off, because you could use it for like a treble booster for bringing out like extra definition in your solos. But personally, I would just leave it on. I think it sounds like really crystal clear. It will add something to any amp. You could use it with a Fender for more sparkle. You could use it with a Marshall to get some sparkle. You could use it with an Orange in the same way, you know, just bring out a bit of that brightness, a bit more presence. And again, made in the USA. Amazing how many of these pedals that we do are still American made.
Yeah.
We talked about it a bit before. Electro-Harmonix, Dunlop.
Way huge. Wampler as well.
Wampler as well. Still made in the States, which is just bonkers.
Dunlop do everything themselves in California, from what I understand.
They do. And Dunlop obviously covers Way Huge as well.
Yeah.
And MXR.
And MXR, of course. I think, if I remember correctly, one of the guys from Dunlop was saying when he came into the shop that... They literally make everything themselves. They make their strings. They've got there aren't that many string machines in the world, but no, certainly in the US.
A lot of people just use other manufacturers' machines, but change the specs. So, you know, someone, for example, might use Ernie Ball's machines, but not wind them in the same way that Ernie Ball wind their strings, but and call them their strings.
But Dunlop have got their own string machine, but also down to any and all of their point of sale stuff. So we've got a couple of pedal boards at the shop where we've got like there's one that's got like 5 wahs on it.
Yeah,
and we were just like, we want something to display the wah pedals, and they went, okay, cool, we can knock that up, and they went and. They made that. They welded that. And
you give them the dimensions roughly of the space that you've got and what you want on it. And they go,
hello, okay, cool. Yeah,
hello,
we'll make
America,
it.
Can you make us this? And they go,
like,
yeah.
Fine. Everything is made in house. Like all the printing's done in house. I just think that's like very rare and like very, very cool. You know, they're not outsourcing stuff. It's all responsibility lies with them. And I think, again, that's, you know, talking about the reliability with the Line 6 stuff. You know, when was the last time you remember anyone bringing back an MXR pedal?
Never.
I can't think of a single time.
Never?
Yeah.
You get the occasional crybaby where people bring it in and go, I'm rocking it back and forth, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you need to step on the front to turn it on.
Yeah, or like, yeah, I've had this crybaby for like 25 years or whatever, and you go, oh yeah, that's no worries. You just need to replace the pot here. I've got one. Oh look, it's done. Oh yeah, good, it's new. Yeah. Like, you know, that's the thing. The crybaby's another one of those things. Like the Big Muff, it's like, you sort of wonder how we still sell them, because you sort of think that you're not going to get to saturation point.
Yeah.
What, you know, where everybody owns one.
But every new guitarist, I mean, when I was younger and I primarily played guitar, and I didn't really know kind of what I wanted to, the kind of guitarist I wanted to be, the two pedals that I owned, Big Muff, Crybaby.
Yeah.
Because I knew that fuzz is cool. Like Kurt Cobain uses fuzz, and you know, all the guitar heroes use fuzz, and all the guitar heroes use a wah pedal. What are the two that they all use? Okay, it's Big Muff and a Crybaby.
Yeah.
And for a long time, those were the only pedals that I had. And you know, it gives you enough range and plenty to play with in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Stuff. I mean, think how many pedals in the world must just consider of Tuner, Big Muff, Crybaby.
Yeah.
Not in that order.
Not, of course, I was about to say.
Well, you can use them in that order. In fact, when I got, I can't remember whether, yeah, it was the wah pedal, and they might even still come with them. There's a little booklet in there that tells you basically
where to
experiment
it.
where you put it in the chain.
I mean, that's always what I say. I mean, I don't actually think there's any hard or fast rule as to where you should put your wah. I think it depends on everything else that you're using, but yeah, no, that's really funny. I didn't know you ever owned a wah pedal.
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably, I never used it live.
No.
Good fun though. It's
yeah.
good fun having a wah.
That's through the PV Raptor.
Yeah, PV Raptor. Or had I got something better by then? I don't know. No, I think I just had a PV Raptor, the wah, the Big Muff into the PV band. No, the PV Rage. That's a good setup. That.
Yeah.
Do you know what, one thing actually that we haven't mentioned in this list, Boss ME80.
Yeah.
Came out this year.
Did it come out this year?
I think so.
It wasn't in last year's Gear of the Year, was it?
No. It will definitely be in mine.
Yeah.
Definitely be in mine.
Yeah.
See, just generating ideas. If you've got things that you want to see in this year's Gear of the Year, please do get in touch. podcast@gak.co.uk. I want to hear some suggestions.
I'm sure there's things that have come out that we've forgotten to talk about.
Definitely.
We're going to have to bring the Iris stuff into it as well. I mean,
yeah, they're not guitar products, but I mean, they are really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about that. I mean, I'm quite partial to a little drum machine.
Yeah.
So, there's so much stuff. Yeah, do send over podcast@gak.co.uk. Tell us what you've bought that's come out this year and how you're using it and why you think it should be in this year's Gear of the Year. Should we do some stuff picks?
Yeah.
What have you been playing this week?
Do you remember? I'm not sure if we spoke about it at the time, but about 3 months ago or so, I guess, we had, I think, two Select Strats come in.
Yeah.
Now, for people who don't know, the Select range is kind of Fender biting at the ankles of PRS. You know, they make really beautifully carved top, amazing maple cap.
Yes.
You know, like, is there anything higher than a quadruple A maple cap? Maybe a 5? I mean, I don't know. I don't think
5A.
It is.
5A.
It's like the top grade maple cap, carved top style Strat. And they kind of sit in between the American Vintage series and the Custom Shop series. So, you know, they're sort of 1,800 quid or so. Anyway, we had one of those through. We had a couple of those through that were that had channel bound fingerboards.
Yes.
So what that means is you've got a maple neck that a groove was cut down the length of it, and then an equally sized chunk of rosewood was slid into the channel. So you had a maple neck, but in the channel of it was a rosewood fingerboard, instead of the rosewood fingerboard just being stuck on the top.
Yeah.
Like you would normally have. And it looked incredible. It looked like a bound fingerboard. But it wasn't bound. It was just encased in the wood.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to explain, which I'm only realizing now I'm trying to explain it, and it sounds like crap. But it's not. it's like it looks incredible.
Yeah.
And
it's worth mentioning they also did one the other way round.
They did also do one the other way round as
solid
well.
Solid rosewood neck, but then with the maple board inlaid in it.
Yeah. And anyway, the reason I bring this up is that, you know, they were 1,700 quid or something, and but I think they were a bit more than that. And we thought, wow, okay, cool. This is Fender sort of flexing their muscles and saying, look at all this cool stuff that we can do, like if we put our minds to it. But you know, it was sort of 1,900 quid or whatever. What we had through this week is some of the American standards.
Yep.
The American Standard Tele and Strat have come through with the channel bound fingerboards, and they look absolutely banging. They do two models. It's one in Sonic Blue and one in Dakota Red for both the Tele and the Strat, and they look so good. The Dakota Red Strat looks just like the Eric Johnson signature.
It really does. But not a bound neck, a channel bound neck.
Yeah, and with custom shop Fat 50s pickups instead of the Eric Johnson voice pickups. I actually think that's a much better guitar than the Eric Johnson. And the Eric Johnson is like 500 quid more expensive, maybe a bit more. It just looks banging.
They do look really nice. That in particular, that Dakota Red Strat looks like a really good 60s Strat, but obviously with a bound board, which you just kind of wouldn't see. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird technique, isn't it? But you obviously can't really feel the difference. I mean, what you do get is really sort of rolled fretboard edges, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the quality of the workmanship is very, very high indeed.
Yeah, they're just a great innovation and a great addition to that FSR range. You know, I think it's...
Just reading on there, compound radius... do the regular standards?
No, they
have a
don't.
Compound
I didn't realise they were compound radius. Actually,
9.5 to 14 inch,
right, which is the same as the American Deluxe.
Yes.
So that's cool. So it's sort of halfway between a deluxe and a standard. That's really good. What are they? 11.39.
They are 11.39.
11.39. So that's the same price as the like top end of the American Standard range, so anything that's natural, that's a natural finish, or any of the sunburst finishes. So you know, it's no more money than any of the others. So I just think that's a really, really wicked spec.
Much cheaper than like the American Vintage stuff as well.
And
it kind of looks like an American Vintage 60 Strat.
I mean, obviously I prefer the Telecaster,
of course.
I
think personally that Dakota Red Strat,
the Dakota Red Strat
is the eye catcher.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really like the Dakota Red Strat, and I really like the Sonic Blue Tele. I think the Sonic Blue Tele looks beaut. I just think it was just a really good innovation, and I think it's, again, as we've said, you know, it's part of the FSR range, which is Defender, the factory special run, and I think they just keep finding new cool things to do.
Fender's range could only exist if they only did FSR. Not it could only exist, sorry. Their entire range could just be FSRs.
Yeah.
And that would be, you'd be impressed by that, because they do so much of it and it's so different.
Yeah.
That kind of would be fine. But obviously it's just really like a backup to all the other wicked stuff that they do. And they just kind of use it for these special editions.
I'll tell you another one, just going off on a slight tangent, and something that I saw when I was looking through stock today, which I'd forgotten about, was they did a Mexican 50s Tele and a Mexican 60s Strat with Nitro.
Yes,
and they're like 750 quid. It's
nitrocellulose finish.
You can't get anything else for under a grand with a nitrocellulose finish that I can think of.
The Gibson Studios.
I don't think they're nitro.
I
don't think they're under a grand. Then
that's true. They're not under
they're
a grand.
They're 1099.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can get anything for under a grand with a nitrocellulose finish, other than those Mexican the 50s. I think there's a 50s Tele and a 60s Strat. There might also be a 50s Strat. But the 50s Tele looks great. It's white blonde, obviously maple board. It just looks wicked. I just remembered that off the back of you talking about the FSR stuff. So what about you? What's your stuff pick?
My staff pick this week, and it's something that I've been talking about for a little while, I've finally taken delivery of the Aria DM380 in pink. Now, I told the story last week or a couple of weeks ago about how I was going to buy this guitar. Well, it's arrived. It's very pink. So much pinker than the photos led me to believe.
It's definitely hot pink.
Yeah, it's definitely hot pink.
Like, it's not... shell pink, is it?
No.
And it's not even pink.
It's super pink.
It's really, really hot pink. It looks like the only thing that I've seen that could possibly be pinker is the do you remember the Squire Showmaster?
I was just thinking that, looking at it from this angle, yeah. It's the same finish as that.
Yeah.
It's like a neon pink.
Yeah, it's very pink.
I've basically bought an utterly, utterly ridiculous guitar that is awesome. So I've only had it home while we're recording this for about an hour. And for £159, it's...
That's got to be more than that.
That's what they are, £159. Oh, well, that's the price of the black one on our site. At the moment, we don't have the pink one listed, which I will sort out. Jay's just picked it up. And looking at it, seeing someone else... play it. It looks amazing. So, Perloid scratch play. It's got two P90s. I haven't got around to plugging it in just yet. And obviously, with any sort of budget guitar, the pickups generally is where manufacturers save a bit of cash. So we'll see whether they'll do the job, or I might put some bare knuckles in there, or some Seymour Duncans. It didn't take much, kind of, again, for a budget guitar. You know, I personally like to get them home and restring them, because, again, they save a bit of money by putting some slightly cheaper strings on there. But I put some Ernie Balls on. It's playing great.
Where's the tremolo arm, Mark?
Well, it does have a strat trem. I've kind of locked that down because I just wouldn't use it. But apart from that, you know, I locked the trem, put some heavier Ernie Balls on, put some regular slinkies on. Apart from that, it didn't need anything, and it's a fully gigging... I'll take that, and as long as those pickups sound great, I'll take that and gig that, and it's £159.
Yeah.
I'll take it out and play it. Highly recommended. I think we're going to be hopefully doing some more of them. I need to get that pink one listed, because it is wicked. If you want to see some pictures of it, have a look at my Twitter, @mark_random. I've tweeted some pictures, and it looks amazing. Shall we do some questions?
Yeah.
Only one question this week. And again, so as there's only two of us here, this might be a slightly shorter podcast than normal, but hopefully we've had you entertained for 45-ish minutes so
far. It's the two middle ones, isn't it?
What?
Well, Matt's not here, so, and he's obviously the good one.
Yeah.
But then Joe's not here, and
he's
obviously
the worst
bad
one. So
like, it's... Well, maybe I'm... I'm going to go with Joe's the worst one.
If we were the Beatles, which one of us would we all be?
I mean, Joe is obviously
Ringo. yeah, definitely. He's not even the best drummer.
even you play bass better than he does.
I hope he doesn't listen to this. Go on, continue.
I think I would be George.
Okay.
And I know how much you want me to say that you're Paul, so I'm going to say that Matt's Paul and you're John.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thanks. Very good. If you again, if you've got thoughts on that, do email in podcast@gak.co.uk.
Or like any other iconic band.
Even better.
Totally fine.
If you've got some Photoshop skills, feel free to find pictures of our faces and Photoshop them onto famous four-piece bands.
Or even better, three-piece bands, and just ignore Joe.
Ignore Joe. Just leave him off. If there's a picture of a famous three-piece band with a roadie at the back looking a bit like downtrodden, perhaps it might be raining, or maybe the roadie's holding an umbrella over the three-piece, Photoshop that so that's Joe's face on the roadie.
What about if you've got Green Day with... Green Day with, like... Is it still Pat Smear?
No, he was in Foo Fighters.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Jason something?
Yeah,
he's the guitar player.
Joe Joseph.
Yeah, anything like that, or you know, just roadie. That's how I sort of see him. So anything like that. Three piece band, famous. Well, not a famous roadie. Probably the less famous, the better. Photoshop Joe's face on that. Anyway, send him podcast@gak.co.uk. One question this week. James on Twitter says, And this was in relation to our offset special we did a couple of weeks ago. James says, could the Epiphone Wilshire shape be considered offset? Also, what are your thoughts on the Fantomatic?
I'm going to say yes. I think it could.
I'm going to say no, because it's actually very symmetrical when you look at it.
Yeah.
So, not offset, but...
Maybe I look at things in a slightly different way.
You think offset, you think jangly, 60s-y, garage-y.
A bit weird, a bit off-kilter. Yeah. That's exactly what I think. Yes. I think you're holding too much in but the word he does offset.
He specifically says the body shape, and the body shape is definitely not offset. But the character...
Is it completely symmetrical?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean... when you think about things like the Wilshire and the Coronet, they are symmetrical.
Right, okay.
I think it's more like the vibe of those guitars.
Yeah.
It's definitely in line with offset guitars.
Yeah.
Jangly, garagey, 60s-y.
Yeah.
But the actual body shape itself, not so much.
Oh, okay.
How about the Fantomatic?
Yeah, it's good. I can't remember the guy's name. The guy from My Chemical Romance.
It's not... Patrick Stump, because he's got the Stumpomatic.
Yes.
It is Joe Troman?
No, that's the other guitarist of Fall Out Boy. And the Stumpomatic is... the Fantomatic is the fella from My Chemical Romance.
Something Way? No,
Mikey Way's the bass player.
Hang on. I need to find out. Keep talking about the Fantomatic.
Anyway, yeah, it's really good. I really like it. It's white, which is obviously the correct colour. And it's just super simple. I mean, I don't think...
I'm so surprised. With your collection of white guitars, I'm really surprised that you don't have
I know. Well, I don't know. I've sort of scaled back a little bit because I was really, really skint because I'd spent loads of money on guitars.
Frank Iero.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Also, the body shape, not totally symmetrical. The top horn...
there you go.
Top horn is a bit longer, but the waist, which is the key thing, goes in at the same point.
Okay. But yeah, I think the Stumpomatic is a
the Fantomatic.
I think is a really, really cool guitar, and it's another one of those ones that, you know, we've spoken about this in the past with regards to signature models and whether, you know, you can sort of get away with using a signature model. And I mean, our answer is always yes.
Yeah.
You know, the Matt Freeman, like the best bass. Squire have one of the best basses ever.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a great guitar. Really, really good.
What are you
value for money? I was looking at the price.
$369.
Yeah, sorry. Really good value for money for what you're getting. I think they just it's just a bit of an upgrade across the entire Wilshire range.
Yep. Control wise on there, master volume and because it's got a lot of controls on it. Let's just get some spec up here.
I can't remember. I haven't picked one up for ages. We were out of stock. When they first came out, there were so many back orders.
I'm surprised how many... I mean, obviously, My Chemical Romance, huge band, but they've been split up for a while.
They weren't split up when that guitar came out,
no,
I don't think.
No, but that guitar's been out for a little while.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Have they been split up that long?
Yeah, they have. I mean, at least a couple years.
Okay.
And that guitar is still so popular that it's often difficult to keep it in stock.
Yeah.
Real kind of loyal fan base. So control-wise, here we go. So master volume control, momentary kill switch. Momentary must mean that it's sprung?
Yeah, well, it'll be unlatching. No, yeah, it will be sprung.
So sprung, so you'll be able to flick it. But you won't have to hold it like you do with a normal one. You'll just be able to hit it. Okay, I need to try one of these again because it's been a while and I don't remember that feature. Three-way pickup selector and then a six-way varitone, which gives you... Okay, so six positions.
Okay.
Bypass, 5 dB... minus 5 dB at a particular frequency. It's written very weirdly. 12 dB at another minus 12 dB at another frequency, minus 16 dB at another frequency... Minus 18.5 dB at another frequency, and minus 21 dB at another frequency.
You know what sounded really good when I plugged this guitar in?
Yeah.
The bridge pickup. just like, just don't worry about all the varitone stuff. Just bridge pickup and momentary kill switch.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm into that.
I mean, but the other thing is, you know, it does offer a lot of variety.
It does, yeah. I'm being incredibly facetious, as per...
Two Alnico Classic Plus humbuckers in there as well, which I think they're an Epiphone pickup, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are Alnico Classic Plus. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, okay. I think that's...
Oh, sorry. Classic Plus in the bridge and Classic in the neck.
Okay. I think... I can't remember for certain, but I think that's based on... I might be very wrong here, but I'm sure it's based on the Slash style pickup. I think is what that is.
Okay.
I think.
There's good spec on this. You've got Wilkinson heads.
Yep.
Loctone Tunematic stop tailpiece, which I think are one of the ones that have got the... Have they got the Allen key? The grub screws in there to hold them on so they don't fall off when you turn the guitar upside down.
Oh, do they? Okay,
I think so,
cool.
Very, to answer your question, very, very cool guitar, super flexible, and like you say, great value for money, $369.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions, do send them over at podcast@gak.co.uk. You can also get in touch on Twitter @gak_co_UK or on Facebook, facebook.com/gakmusic. We're toying with the idea of setting up a GAK podcast Facebook group. So you can chat to us on Facebook and you guys can contribute stuff and share news stories and talk about stuff we've talked about in the podcast. Just to give us something to talk about in the podcast and to kind of get debate going.
We'd really like you to do our job for us.
We need you to find out stuff for us.
Yeah, so that we can just like
and
sit
more
around.
Importantly, tell us when we're very wrong.
Yeah, because that is also very
happens
important.
Very often.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure that's like we make no apology for the fact that, you know, we get stuff wrong. Like that's cool, and we really like being pointed out that we've got stuff wrong. We just never redact anything. We never apologise for anything.
Well, I mean, that's why the Facebook group would be good. Yeah, I mean, mainly we don't redact anything because a lot of the time I think we don't realise that we've got stuff wrong. But
and
we
then
definitely
the,
do.
The other rest of the time we don't care.
Well, yeah. But so it'd be nice for you guys to call us out. So I think that if you want to do that, let us know on the email, podcast@gak.co.uk, if that sounds like a cool idea. I think it's going to be really good. And then we'll set up the group. And I think it will be like a private thing. So you just like, you'll request to come into the group. We'll say, yes, come in. I mean, we're not going to turn anyone down. But it'll be all kind of like our own little thing. And we'll chat about the podcast and do that. Interestingly enough, it's not the right term. But we had the most downloads for a week where we'd only done one episode last week. The podcast is growing, and it's all thanks to you guys.
What, the week that I wasn't here?
Yeah, the week that you weren't here. When I say thanks to you guys, I mean specifically thanks to you.
Right,
Jay
for Christ. Not being
no,
here.
No, actually, it's the week before.
It was when
we were all here, when we were doing offsets.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for kind of spreading the word. You know, we don't promote it that much through the site, so it's kind of you guys spreading the word and telling your mates. Please continue to do that. That is awesome.
And please keep coming in and, like, introducing yourself. If you come into the shop and are unfortunate enough to speak to me, because it's really, really nice. And I realise this makes me sound like an incredibly wet blanket, but it really does make my day a lot of the time if someone comes in and says, oh, hey, like, I listen to the podcast, like, yeah, you've got an annoying voice. No, don't say that.
Say that.
Yeah, okay.
Because we want you to tell us the truth, and Jay has got a real annoying voice.
It's great. It's really cool when we get to actually meet people who put up with our rubbish on their way to work. So thanks.
You can put up with more rubbish from me at my Twitter, @mark_random. This week, I would suspect I'm going to be posting a lot of pictures of a stunning hot pink guitar, the Aria DM380. I've already done a couple, one where it was still in the warehouse, one where it was on the sofa. I'm thinking maybe we'll move to the garden next, do some sort of vanity shots there, maybe go to the beach. Oh, it's going to be so good.
You're like, this is going to be, like, you've just turned 30, and this is like... Most of your school friends are like posting up pictures of them with their kids.
Well, I thought
stuff.
About that today. Do you know what? I was going to post a thing on Facebook to say, as everyone's having a baby, I thought I'd have one of my own and post up loads of pictures of it. But then, just as I was about to do that, my cousin posted, he's just had a baby today. I thought they're definitely going to take this the wrong way and think that I was having a pop, but I wasn't having a pop. I just love this guitar so much already. It's so good. J Cross, where can people hear some more nonsense from you?
You can hit me up on Twitter at JAYBM1. Or you can shoot me an email at j.cross@gak.co.uk. The football season's about to kick off. Well, the football league has started and non-league has started. So we're back in football world and Spurs begin another miserably mid-table season this Saturday. I'm very pessimistic.
Are you going to finish 5th, 6th or 7th this season?
I think if we finish 5th, 6th or 7th, then it will be an incredible achievement. So
feel free to give Jay some grief about his awful football team. Yeah. You can catch the other boys. You can catch Matt at Matt_Knightsey and Joe.
How do you spell that?
It's Knight with SIE on the end.
Okay, cool, right.
And Joseph, you can catch Joe at Joseph_900. He has been showing me today that he is working on some more hip-hop Joe rap music. God. It's awful. Please tell him it's awful. In fact, that's what I want everyone to do this week. While he's not on the podcast listening to this, I want you to go to his Twitter account and tweet him just the word awful.
Yeah.
Just that, everyone listening, go to @Joseph_900 and just tweet the word awful, preferably in capital letters.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll listen to this podcast before he does. And that
he's not going to get this far.
Loads of people tweeting him just the word awful will be amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for that. We will see you next week for more of this utter shambles.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Recording with a microphone. I'm recording with a microphone. What orange thing we're doing? Jewel dark.
Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. Yeah, jewel dark. I mean.
So you're going to do this channel dance? Do you want to get those off your phone? Start off with the Gretsch. If I just sort of talk through them, then you can discuss them.